All right. Sunday morning, 9/17/23. Happy birthday to Miss Mady D. Love. The title of this is Looking to Things That Are Not Seen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Looking at things.
Looking to the to things that are not seen. Most people gauge things by what they see in the natural, you know. That's the gauge, and that's really why they miss it. That's why they're not seeing what they want to see, because we are a faith people. We walk by faith and not by sight. Even whether they realize it or not, that's still how it works. It's a law. And nothing is going to change that. Whatever you receive from God, when you got born again, you believed in your heart and spoke it out of your mouth. That was how you became born again. So that process is going to come the same way in any other endeavor if you're asking God for something. What's the key? You believe it here. Here. You don't see in the with the natural eye, we don't see here. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, we'll start with verse 13 there. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Isn't that just what I just said? Yes. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about what comes from him in here is eternal. What's out here is temporal. It's subject to change. But God doesn't change. So what's eternal does not change. God doesn't change. He said it, that's it. There ain't no going back and forth and bawling and squalling about it. You take him at his word, he'll do his word. It's plain and simple. We fall all over that, but that is the truth, right? Well, Lord, you said it. I believe it. That's the end of it. So whatever's going on out here doesn't make any difference, does it? May not feel good. May not look good. May not sound good. But it doesn't move what's in here. All right, Hebrews 11. I think it's been one of the hardest things in the world, and the devil's probably fought it the hardest because he knows how God created and how his children create. But it seems to be the hardest thing in the world for people to get past what they're experiencing on the outside and seeing on the outside. That, more than likely, most Christians, that's their gauge. That's why the church is weak and sick and broke. All right, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're not going to see it out here. It's in here. For by it the elders obtained a good report. What elders are we talking about? Well, Abraham, for one. If you notice, when Jesus came, we didn't keep walking under the law. We went back to Abraham, father of our faith. He wasn't under the law. All right. Faith is our evidence of things not seen. All right, we're gonna look at quite a few scriptures here today. Romans chapter 4. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. So here we go to the two masters, basically. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law, where no law is, there is no transgression. You know, let me just stop here a second. A lot of times when people get prayed for by a minister and they don't see instant manifestation, they blame the minister. Not their fault. It's the person that's getting the ministry. They choose to believe or they don't. Plain and simple. Well, they're just false teacher because I didn't get instant manifestation. No, you have a part to play in this. There's very few occasions that God's going to require the minister to carry the whole enchilada. It's a partnership. You stand and agree with someone. Maybe they're struggling. You stand and agree, but they have their faith in play here also. And that's hard for some Christians to understand. I remember a situation where it was just pitiful, but I couldn't get the person to understand. You cannot walk by faith for them. You can agree with them, but you cannot make them do anything. You can't. They have their faith, their part in this. If any two agree means if any two agree. Don't know why I'm even going down this road. But the Lord knows. You cannot carry the burden and responsibility of somebody else's actions and what they decide to do. You cannot. I don't care. You just can't. Now, if God's given you specific instructions on what to do, then you do it. I'll give you an example. And I'm not going to mention any names. It was a certain minister, had a sister, had cancer. He went to the Lord. Lord said, okay, agree with her and I'll heal her. And she got healed. 5 years later, she gets another kind of cancer. Lord said, she's not gotten in the word for herself. She's not tried to, you know, get in line and try to grow. And I won't let you agree with her this time. And she died. Was it the minister's fault? No. He can only do what God would allow him to do. And that's what I say with us. We can only do so much for our family, friends, because God is expecting them, something out of them. That's why when people want you to pray, tell them you'll agree with them, but you will not carry their whole ball. You will not carry their burdens. You will not. Isn't that what a prayer line does? It carries people's burdens instead of the people hearing from their Father in secret. Lord, what do you say about this? They're just ornery. They just won't get in there before God themselves. Maybe they're mad at God. I don't know. Could be. You know, people get disappointed in churches and get disappointed maybe by ministers. But that doesn't have anything to do with God, really. Because each child of God has their own individual relationship with their Father. And they will answer to Him. And when they get to heaven, now this woman that went to heaven, when she got there, the Lord talked to her about it. This is why this happened the way it did. And I'm sure the people we've known that have gone on, the Lord's given them a good talking to when they got there. This is why things went. You weren't looking at things right, and this is why. I didn't hold out on you. You held out on me. You didn't agree with me. See, they have a part to play. I don't care if they're a baby Christian, because the very first way you use your faith is becoming born again. Every baby knows how to use their faith. Every baby. So there's not any excuses. We're going to have to cut the umbilical cord maybe in some instances and say, hey, I've done all I could do. The Lord won't allow me to do anything else. You're going to have to hit the floor, and you're going to have to find out what God wants you to do. That's what I do when I'm in a situation. That's what I do. I hit the floor, not really naturally, but spiritually. I go low and say, Lord, you're high. I need to get high. How do I get high? Because I'm really low. He'll tell you. He said he wouldn't hold his wisdom back from us. I was talking to the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, there's things that are so grievous to me, I can hardly stand it. At times I feel like I'm going to lose my mind over it. But I said, Lord, if you asked me like Solomon what I would ask for, I'd ask for wisdom. Not deliverance from all these things that plague me. Because, Lord, I want to know how to help your people. And if I had wisdom, then I'd know how to fix myself too, right? So let's quit being so much on what's happening to us. But God's, what do you want? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? See, that changes that focus where we get into ourselves and what's going on with us and all the, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, all this mentality that keeps us from attaining. You understand this kind of stuff short circuits your faith, hampers your faith, and it's a distraction from the enemy to keep you from doing what you are called to do. But this is the way I tell a lot of people. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. Get your business off your mind, get his on your mind. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's what I mean about the cart before the horse. Well, Lord, you take care of my things, and then I'll take care of your things. It don't work that way. Most live and die that way. Well, I never did feel like I did what the Lord wanted me to do. Why not? Why not? The Lord loves us, but we got to put him in his proper place in our lives, in everything we do. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, all I care about is what you want me to do. Why was I born? What is the things that you want me to do? And I want to do them. And I just have to believe that he'll take care of the rest. The things that concern me. That's why I said, don't take a thought saying. He knows what you need even before you ask. All right. Therefore, verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also, all right, let me pick up where I left off here. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who calleth those things, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I mean, the man was way past the age of bearing kids or fathering a child. And God tells him your seed are going to be like, you know, the stars. That's the focus he gave him. Look up and see the stars. That's the way you're, you know, like the sand on the seashore, innumerable. When he was about 100 years old, neither the yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's barren. She's old. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, when you consider the circumstances and they are reigning instead of God, that's unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So by faith, he considered what God had said over what his body was telling him and his circumstances was telling him. This is the father of our faith here. All right. Faith causes us to believe what God has promised, even with no outside or seen evidence to back it up. Your faith alone is your evidence. Faith is the substance of things not seen. All right. What is seen is temporal. In the Strong's, temporal means the occasion only or for a while. In other words, you know, temporary. Temporal, temporary. Here's the Carnal Love version. You will have to put up with what you don't want for a while, but just for a while. And that's the lack of evidence. All right, eternal means perpetual or forever. Carnal Love version. Once you receive this way, nothing can take it from you. You own it. It's yours. Nobody could beat it out of you with a ball bat. I don't get these wishy-washy Christians. I don't get it. It just came so natural for me. Maybe it's just because of the calling that I have, but it was. It was like, now, I didn't always understand everything, but it just seemed like everything was just black and white with me with God. I wasn't, oh, well. Most people just question. There's nothing wrong with questions, but I'm telling you, when it gets to where everything's a question, there's a problem. God is an absolute in us. And what he says in his word is absolute. He'll do absolutely what he said he will do. Just like the word we had. I told you, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Not, well, come back later. Now I'm closed today. Think about it. God doesn't forget. We do sometimes because of what we see. And we get to mouthing about it. You own it. Can't take it away from you. That's why we scare the devil so bad. Even the devils believe and tremble. You think fear comes against you? You know why fear comes against you? They're projecting their own fear on you. They're terrified of you. You can't beat that faith bunch. I'm telling you, you cannot. Those that take God at his word, you're not going to beat them. I don't care if there's just two of them. Luke 17:11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Evidently, they didn't have any evidence, but Jesus said, go act like you would act if the priest called you clean, or if you were called clean, you would go and do this under the law. They were acting out their faith. All right, once you receive the word of faith concerning your situation, prepare to receive the answer based on the word of faith and the prayer faith, etc., however you received it. Never look to the symptoms to gauge if you have received. Symptoms are not a gauge on whether or not you've received. Symptoms don't come from God. They come from the devil. And what is the characteristic of the devil, the number one characteristic of the devil? He lies. He lies about everything. Jesus said he's the father of lies. And he said there's no truth in him. So when he comes at you with lies, you can laugh. Did you hear me? When he comes to you with a lie, you can say, and I'm supposed to believe you? That's the time to start laughing. Oh, I'm telling you, we put up with far too much. Daniel. Got to go back to Daniel. Lord taught me such a lesson from this chapter, or part of it here. Ha, 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 ha. You don't have to feel like it. At famine and destruction, what? Thou shalt laugh. Oh, ah, ha, ha, ha. Even if you feel like, oh, ah, ha, 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 okay, Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. That's our problem. It's long, right? But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he was really grieving. He was in distress. And in the four and twentieth day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Adekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. I mean, he wore himself out worrying. Yet heard I and the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. See, you might forget, but God doesn't. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So, from the moment Daniel prayed, the answer was on the way. He said it was long. The time appointed was long. And he was afraid about it. He was so weak. Even when the angel tried to pick him up, he couldn't get off his knees. Then he stood trembling, weak. He'd worried himself sick. There's times, other times, that Daniel was so sick he had to go to bed. Interceding for his people. I don't believe the Lord would have us do that. That's old covenant. But even in the old covenant, there were people that walked by faith, like Abraham. The Lord doesn't want you making yourself sick, worrying about things. All right. Satan can continue his illusion concerning your situation for a while, but if you will stay standing in faith, then what is true will come popping through. One of those suddenlies, you know? I saw this meme the other day. It said this, F-E-A-R has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. Ephesians 6. You know, we've talked about, and we're going to talk about spiritual mapping in the next teaching. And that's what we do. That's what kind of what the Lord's given us to do in this ministry. But every bit of the walk of faith is just simply a stand. A stand that doesn't back down. Ephesians 6, start with 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in yourself. No, it doesn't say that. In the Lord. In the power of His what? Might. Put on the whole armor of God. He's not asking you to do this in your own strength, your own ways. You arm yourself and protect yourself. This is His might and His armor. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's the wily coyote again. So this is the way we need to view it. And I'm not displacing the devil and what the devil's power that he has. But I'm saying to you, when he comes against you, you can put, instead of seeing the devil, you see the wily coyote. And here comes Neep Neep. Neep Neep. Pew! And the rock falls on the coyote. The rock he meant for you. I'm telling you, you're going to have to change your mindsets. See, that's where our warfare is, our minds. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people, not ever. I had an opportunity to just really load up. I could have just had even maybe even been righteously justified in what I said on someone, but I just couldn't. It's like the Lord said, you're about helping people, loving people. not making sure that they know they're wrong. That's not your place. That's God's place. We're not the judge. When I hear truthers say that, I say, are you the judge now too? Most of them are saying they need to go to Gitmo, they need to be this, need to be that. Really? We don't stand in that place. And we need to pray for those who do, that they are under righteous judgment, God's judgment, not their own vengeance. And I know what they see and what's been done, especially to the children. You can take it into your own hand really, really easy to judge. Now we have to be careful. That belongs kind of with God's glory and His judgment. That belongs to Him alone. We're not to judge and we're not to take His glory. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. You won't have to be like Daniel, so wore out, you're so weak, you can't even stand up on your feet. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. See, he wants you standing tall and strong on the evilest of the days. That's what this is saying here. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This whole armor goes into place by what? The word. It arms you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Just think about that. Even in this battle stance, you've got the gospel on your mind, not your problem. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer. This is part of this stance. Intercessory prayer. Supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's like a watchman. All right. Jesus taught his disciples to speak to their mountains, Mark 11:22-24. When you have situations and circumstances, he said to speak to them. We're going to look at it so we get it right. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Really, the translation would accurately say, have God's faith, because he has given to every man the measure of faith. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When do you believe? The moment you prayed. And it doesn't make any difference. Whatever mountain is before you, because the devils don't want to give it up. So he brings all this junk to make you convinced, well, see, God didn't hear you. Or no, you don't have any faith. Because you're seeing all these symptoms. Or you're doing something wrong. That's why you're not seeing manifestation. No, right here it says you're to believe when you speak. And that's it. It's done. It's over. No matter what you see. No matter what you see. If you see the Rocky Mountains, it doesn't make any difference. It does not refute the prayer of faith that you just spoke, you just said, you just believed right there when you said it. See, that's the devil's tactics. What does he do? He comes to steal, kill, destroy. Because you just took it back. Think about that. You just took it back. He's come to, well, no. He's going to challenge you. You say, no, mine, mine. Oh, help us, Lord. Sarah and Abraham had to act like they could conceive a baby. It says Abraham's body was as good as dead and Sarah was barren. That's pretty bad. That's, I mean, you're talking about negative circumstances. That's about as negative as it gets. What happened? They had a baby. Happened. All right, now go to Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Is that just for Abraham? No. It's for each one of us. Whatever we believe in God for. I feel sorry for those who don't know about the way of faith. They have not been taught that. I really do. God is not looking for the mighty in the flesh, for that is a dead work. He's looking for mighty in God. Those that are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Those that will stand in faith and dare to believe him no matter what the circumstances dictate. You just say, well, you know what? God says it's mine, and I believe it's mine, and so it's mine. It doesn't make any difference what you say about it. It's mine. Be like a little kid in the nursery. Mine! I think it's one of the first words they learn. Mine! This shows you about the selfish nature of a human. Mine! Well, that's good when you're using your faith. Mine. Devil, you can't have it. You don't get anything. Only the future I see for you is the pit. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. You see, God put us here to win our victories and our battles, to do it by faith, so that he gets the glory for it and not us. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God wants to provide everything for us. Just think about in the garden what he did for Adam and Eve before they blew it. All he said was to maintain what he made for them. By what? Faith. Speaking. Decreeing. Saying what they wanted. He didn't ask them to build nothing, make nothing. It was all there. Still is there. And the devil's been trying to steal it for 6,000 years. I was listening again over and over, especially that movie, The Greatest Show on Earth. you know, they keep bringing up over and over, there's 650 cargo planes it took to take the gold from the Vatican. That's the devil's, that's the supply he stole from us. That's just the United States part. I don't know how much more there is for the rest of the world. He never intended us to live any other way but this way. People think people of faith are nuts. They're crazy. No, they just call those things to be not as though they were. While we sit and watch them scurry about and lose their minds and have heart attacks and everything else because they don't know how to trust God. Mighty here means powerful and capable through God. Powerful and capable. God is not looking for people that are powerful and capable in the flesh. He's looking for those that by faith will believe him. God's doing it. He's doing it. He wants to do it. He loves doing it for his kids. All right, Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. That's what it says. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Right here. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards us for our faith. Don't you think for a minute that he doesn't. He is so pleased with that. It's the truth. Christians that do not understand faith call it foolish. Well, I'm not going to say I'm well when I'm experiencing symptoms. No way. I'm not going to say I'm rich when I can't pay my bills. That's foolish. Ever hear anybody say those kind of things? This said minister again, that I won't mention their name, lest I misquote them, had a lady preacher, outstanding preacher, come up to get prayed for, and God showed him, because he prayed for her, I think, 3 times. Well, no, I'm not healed. He told her, go on and sit down, because you ain't going to get nothing. But he exhorted the people, and some of the people heard the things he was saying to this woman, and the people started coming up and getting healed because she was leading the whole congregation off. They're thinking, she's such a powerful minister of God and so well spoken of and everything. If she can't get healed, how in the world are we ever going to get healed? But the people got what this minister was saying about faith. You believe the moment you pray. And it's not about how you feel. For you to say you're healed and you're still got symptoms is foolish. Well, that's how God's taking the foolish and confounding the wise with it. All right. We're going to read a few scriptures here, several together. 1 Corinthians 18 through 30. Oh, wait a minute. 1:18 through 30. Don't pull your tabs off. All right, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? All right, next one is, well, let me keep going. I read 26 through 30 a while ago, so we'll go on to the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So people that walk by faith and know God's voice and know God's ways, they have an inside track that natural men do not. Natural men call it foolish. I don't need that doctor. No, I don't need that medicine. Why? If you don't do this, you're going to die. See, God has another way. God has another way. If we'll tap into it. We cannot tap into it for someone else, though. That's a decision we have to make, to walk by faith. All right, let's keep going here. Chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you're yet carnal, from whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For where labors together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man Take heed how he buildeth thereon. Thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. This is God's operation. I mean, it's all on the inside. All the striving and all the mess that men do, it's just going to come to nothing. It's going to burn up. Okay, we see the parallel between faith and foolishness. Foolishness means silliness and absurdity. Think about the Faith Hall of Fame. It says the elders obtain a good report. You can read about all of them. Go read it. Read about all of them. Read about all the obstacles that they had to face, but they overcame them by faith. All right. We must discipline ourselves to look at what is not seen as opposed to what is seen. What is unseen will eventually change what is seen. I said already that once you put faith into play to prepare for the finished product to manifest. What did Abraham and Sarah do when they found out they were pregnant? They prepared for the baby. Youngie Cho talked about that. That's the first time I ever used my faith. I wanted a son. And I went from that church service when I heard that, and I made a petition. I put it on the refrigerator. Mother-in-law argued with me about it. So did my father-in-law. I said, no, it's a boy. But Youngie Cho, he likened it to being pregnant. When you ask God for something, he wanted a bicycle and a desk chair and something else. Do you remember what the third thing was? A table. And people thought it was crazy, silly, foolish. Thought I was too. I even had a friend say, don't tell everybody that. Like, when it's a girl, you're going to be upset, you know. I said, it's a boy. Every time I'd go by the refrigerator, I'd say, it's done. Sure enough, a big boy. Yeah. But that's how it works. No matter in the face of opposition or who says what or whoever calls you names or whatever, you don't back down. And you get that image inside of you, nobody can beat it out of you. I was talking to someone recently. When God puts something in you, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody. I don't care what they say. Can't take it away from you. All right, James chapter 2. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there's a corresponding action to what we believe. Plain and simple. Remember the beautiful song, Only Imagine? Only Imagine? That's where we create. We create what we want. This is what we must become an expert on, not looking at what has been not manifested in the natural, but the image of what our faith tells us is real on the inside of us. Genesis 1, 1 through 5, God said, what happened? The Spirit was hovering over the face of the darkness and the water. And that means that he was meditating. It says he was brooding, thinking about it in deep thought. And as he was thinking about it, God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Just read the whole chapter. God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. That's how he did it. And made you do it just like him. All right. We're to be strong in who? In the power of his might. Have on his armor. We're not trying to use our flesh to get these things to manifest or to do these things. You can't pray enough and confess enough and do enough good deeds to get it to happen. Use your faith. Those things aren't meant to do that. Those are works. All right. Strong here means to empower. Inside power. All right. As God's Spirit meditated on the face of the waters, we should do the same when we are faced with the natural and the lack of manifestation of what we have believed in faith for. See yourself well. See yourself rich. See yourself in whatever situation you need to see yourself in to bring you to full manifestation. You just keep standing till that baby comes. Meditate over the darkness, and when it's time, you too can say, light be, and it will be so. Okay, I think that's all of this. It is.